Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast, Public Access Channel number 6 on your TV, entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find all these MP3 files of our radio programs, our Bible videos, and our TV programs are out there. Also, a host of other Bible-related material that can aid you and help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given a regular meeting time of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Come with an open mind and an open Bible. We would love to see you. Today, we're going to begin a new study in our study of 1 Peter, and we're going to look at the last verses of chapter number 2. So please take your Bibles, if you have them handy, to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading in verse 21 through verse 25. It says, "For this is to you who were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, and when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls." Now, in our text this morning, we're going to begin, and we'll probably finish this part next week and finish the second chapter next week. We want to look at the example of Christ. This is a very important lesson because Christ gave us examples while he lived here in how we are to conduct ourselves in this world. Christ is our example. In writing or a drawing that is to be placed under another sheet and to be traced on that upper sheet by the pupil, writing to be used as a perfect model or copy. That's what Mr. Linsky says. That's what a example is. It is a pattern that we can follow and we should strive to be like the model or the copy. Therefore, Christ's behavior is our perfect example to be imitated by us. Contextually, it is given to suffering slaves as a model of how they should act when suffering for doing good in chapter 2, verse 20, and that's where we ended up last week. Under Roman law, slaves were things. Aristotle wrote that a slave is a living tool, no different from a horse, an ox, or a cart. Again, that may be true by the Roman understanding. That does not mean that that's the way that the term was used or understood or the instruction given by God. Generally, it applies to all saints who suffer for doing good, as Jesus did while he was here on earth. I think the context of 1 Peter 2 points out three areas in which Jesus is our example. Number one, his submission to the government. He was under submission to the Roman government. He did not preach insurrection. He did not preach rebellion against the Roman government, even though they were not being very fair-handed in their treatment of God's people. He did not preach or teach insurrection. Number two, suffering for doing good. That is something we're going to touch upon here and was touched in our last study. And then another thing is temptation and how we approach temptation, how we should view it, and how God gives us the ability and the instruction of how it can be avoided. Now, to begin our study in the example of Christ, we first have to look at the submission of Jesus. We need to look at his submission to his Father. As learned in previous lessons, submission is a doctrine especially familiar to Christianity. In order to become a Christian, we must submit to Christ. In order to be our perfect sacrifice, Jesus had to submit to the will of the Father. Now, as Christians, we are repeatedly taught to submit for various reasons, but all to the glory of the Father. John especially informs us of Jesus' subjection to his Father in his earthly mission in many different passages in the Bible. Let's read a few of them in John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. John chapter 7, 28 and 29. Then Jesus cried and said, as he taught in the temple, "You both know me, and you know where I am from. And I have not come of myself, but him who sent me is true, whom you do not know. But I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me." The message and actions is limited to the Father's direction. In John chapter 8, beginning in verse number 26, "I have many things to say to you, to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father." Then Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things." And then in chapter number 12 of John, verse 49 and verse number 50, "For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command of what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has spoken to me, so I speak." And so, in these passages, we understand that the Lord's message and his action came from the direction of his Father. He spoke by the power of the Spirit, and we can read that in John 3, 34 and 35. As man on earth, Jesus voluntarily subjected himself to the Father's will. Therefore, by doing so, he learned obedience. That's not our interpretation. Let's read those very words in Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9. "Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him." You see, he is our example of what it means to be obedient. He learned to do the Father's will by being obedient to it, being complete. Therefore, he is our Savior and our example. In turn, Christ, who now has been given all authority in heaven and earth, according to Matthew 28, verse 18, commands respect and obedience from us all. Hebrews 5 and verse 9 reaffirms that. He does not demand of us what he was unwilling to do on earth. He is our perfect example in what it means to be obedient and submissive. He is the author of eternal salvation to every one of us who will strive to be obedient and submissive to his will. We became the children of God by faith and baptism. We were baptized into Christ. We put on Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. We obeyed the commands of God. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned." Mark 16, verse 16. In 1 Peter 1, verse 22 and 23, we read that we were born of incorruptible seed, and we were paved with the precious blood of Christ. We were taught to obey him in all things that he has commanded us, Matthew 28, verse 20. And we are to be faithful in every duty that we have. This includes abstaining from worldly lust and conducting ourselves honorably in this world that we studied a few weeks ago in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and verse number 12. Submission is part of the Christian's life. It is part of our existence as being one of God's children. Faithful obedience permits us to rest our eternal hope in Jesus Christ. And how do we know that? Because we were left a pattern. We were left a model. We were left an example. Christ left us an example that we should follow in his steps, 2 Peter 2, 21, 1 John 2, verse 6. These steps of meekness, of gentleness, of fortitude, of faith, of obedience, It's something that we need to gravitate to and we need to hold on to in order to be the kind of people that God would have us to be. Leaving only here in the New Testament means having left behind. Follow. This compound verb replies close following. The first genesis of Peter. It implies a close following. And therefore, when we are not close to the Lord, when we're not following him, when we're not looking to his example, then we have the danger of drifting away and not exemplifying to the world what it means to be a follower of Christ. And so he left us an example. He showed us a pattern of how to conduct ourselves while we live upon this earth, even in face of opposition, even in face of unjust treatment, even in face of people rejecting the truth of his claims, and even in fact when men rejected him. He still treated men with the utmost respect and was obedient, was faithful, and was dutiful to them, even though they rebelled and would not avow that he was who he claimed to be, the Son of the living God. And so, you see, he has all authority in heaven and earth, Matthew 28, verse 18. And we were given an example that we should follow in his steps. How do you follow in the steps of Jesus? You have the same character. You have the same mindset. His mindset was to do the Father's will, to do what he was sent here to do, no matter what the opposition, no matter what the obstacle, no matter what was laid in front of him by Satan, by the enemies of the cross, by his enemies on earth, by the religious hierarchy of the day that opposed his words and his teaching, he remained true to God. He remained committed and dedicated to the work that God sent him here to do. He exemplified what it means to make the best out of a bad situation. The example of Christ is to show us that we have the duty to not allow our circumstances and our situations to override our duty and obligation to God. Now, because men mistreated him, because men rejected him, because men rejected his teaching, because men were continually trying to find fault with him, tried to trap him, tried to test him, even though he was not treated in a fair-handed way, in no time did he ever lose sight of his duty to be faithful and obedient and to be an example of doing the things that God would have him to do. We were called to follow his example. His example is one of faith, duty, commitment, and suffering. And we will get more into that next week when we look at the second part of this, and that is his suffering. But we want to conclude this morning by understanding that Jesus was an example of obedience. Obedience to his Father despite how he was treated, despite how they received him or rejected him. It did not change his duty to his Father, his duty to his fellow man, and to exemplify to us how we live even under difficult circumstances. Circumstances and situations do not determine our faithfulness to God. We are to be faithful and obedient in every situation as we follow in the steps and the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you.